I spent over a dozen hours this week following AI stories, so you don't have to. Let's get what matters in 10 minutes. Number one, OpenAI has a rumored $1 trillion IPO and NVIDIA hits $5 trillion in market cap. What's the real story here? It's actually not the rumored IPO, although that was news that went around the world. The real story is that OpenAI is unbundling the tech stack, and that is part of how they are reaching this valuation. They have reached an appetite for compute that exceeds even Microsoft's cloud's capability to deliver. And so they are unbundling and they have dropped the Microsoft first right of refusal on compute, and they can now get compute from anywhere, from Oracle, from Google, from elsewhere. That might seem like it's strange because some of the folks like Google make their own models, but we already see Anthropic and Google working together. The bottom line is not who ends up in a deal with who. The bottom line is that everybody is in a race to build infrastructure. And if you want to look at when the next great model comes out from Gemini or from OpenAI or from Anthropic, the answer is increasingly not dependent on researchers doing smart things with models. It's dependent on people getting chips into data centers with power. Because researchers keep communicating and leadership at these companies keeps communicating, we're not blocked on progress. We're blocked on chips. We're blocked on the ability to get enough chips into data centers to serve demand. As I called out earlier in the week, that incredible appetite for AI is part of how we know we're not in a bubble. This is getting built out to serve a backlog of existing demand. And that demand has no signs of slowing down. It turns out the world has near infinite appetite for intelligence. Story number two, getting the intelligence into a practical space here, right? Anthropic has added Claude to Excel and Microsoft has launched Agent Mode. This is super interesting because Microsoft actually uses Anthropic's models for Agent Mode while competing with Claude for Excel. And so Microsoft is really in a position where they just want to show that they provide good solutions to CTOs who are purchasing Microsoft products so that they are able to preserve more of a lock-in around AI usage and ultimately cloud usage for Azure. They don't need to be the best. They need to be good enough. And one of the things I pay attention to in this story is that because Anthropic has done such a great job with Claude for Excel, and the news has gone around the world, I've written about it, others have written around it, Microsoft feels some pressure to bring that capability into their traditional Office suite. As far as I know, they have never done this, where they brought someone else's tool and embedded it natively in Office. But Claude was so good, they felt like they were losing a step and getting disintermediated if they did not pull Claude directly into Excel. So I think that's a savvy strategic move, but it shows the pressure that can be placed even on traditional software makers when you have really excellent AI tooling. Story number three, Meta is laying off folks in the AI division, 600 to be exact. And these are not cost-cutting measures, not really. Microsoft kept $100 million plus researchers while cutting more than 600 other researchers. And so the way to think about this is that the skills that commanded a premium in 2023, like PyTorch experience or an NLP background or whatever it is, those are now table stakes. And so the market has aggressively split into commodity AI engineers who implement known techniques and really super elite researchers who discover new paradigms and get paid whatever they want. And so the challenge here is that every time I look and check the news, Meta is in a place where it's causing chaos to this AI team, hiring new people in, picking a new leader, firing an old leader, firing 600 people. Teams need coherence and teams need consistency to ship. Llama is already outdated. We need to be in a position, if we're Meta, where the team can ship and settle down. And I have not seen that. And I think that in the next 90 days, say by the holiday period in 2025, we need to see if the Meta team, this expensive multi-billion dollar contract, elite research-led Meta team, is able to actually ship. Because right now they're not. And all we see is more chaos every time we look around. The longer that happens, the more you disrupt the team and the less likely it is to sort of really come through. Story number four is about the IDE wars. Cursor Composer and Windsurf SWE 1.5 both shipped, and they have very different approaches. So Cursor is using an agentic approach where you can run and spawn multiple agents to tackle tasks. They're clearly starting to disintermediate the engineer from the file system. Windsurf is betting that you actually want iteration more than you want agents doing long running tasks. And so Windsurf came back and said, we are shipping an incredibly fast agent that is still good. But the key thing is you never get blocked because this agent is so quick to come back. That is a really interesting dogfight. And I'm really, really unclear who is going to win. Do you want to be in a position where you have multiple agents running long running tasks? Or like Windsurf, would you prefer to develop with a super fast agent to come back? We get that choice. Developers get that choice, and we'll see who wins. Story number five is about GitHub Copilot and Google AI Studio. This sounds boring, but stay with me. Fundamentally, what's happening right now is that we are seeing models grow up, and we are seeing some of the previously hard to build telemetry and evals and operations to support models come into standard tooling. And so, for example, with GitHub Copilot, you can have multi-model now. And so even if GitHub is owned by Microsoft, Microsoft can't stop you using multi-model because the center of gravity around best practice is so strong there that everybody needs to enable multi-model, even the solely owned providers. There's some maturity in the stack here that is coming through. And then with Google AI Studio, similar story, but on the observability side, when models commoditize, the reason you use something like Google AI Studio is because you're doing production workflows. So studio logging is really a feature that shifts the battleground from which model is smartest to which platform makes debugging and iterative improvement on my agentic workflows the easiest. The agent flows are growing up. That's the sort of larger takeaway, I think. Finally, OpenAI's Aardvark. So Aardvark is an autonomous security agent in research preview right now. The exciting thing is this is the first major model launch that addresses security specifically. So Aardvark's entire job is to scan your repositories of code, look for vulnerabilities, assess their severity, and then propose fixes all by itself, entirely autonomously. The fact that it's out now strongly suggests that it will be out from multiple model makers by the end of the year. And what that will do collectively across all of these solutions that will be built is that it will start to put to bed the idea that AI code is unsecure. If you can start to use AI as a weapon to actively build secure code, actively patch vulnerabilities, to do what engineers cannot do, which is to stay awake 24/7 and check for security vulnerabilities, well, now you're in a position to argue that not only is AI code more efficient to write, it is also more secure because of tools like Aardvark. That is a really big strategic shift in the landscape that we're right on the cusp of. And that's the stories that mattered. I hope you enjoyed it. And I wrote up a prompt if you want to dig into sort of what matters and why. And you can kind of have a conversation with the news, which is one of the fun things about the world we live in. You don't have to just absorb it. You can actually have the conversation. So check it out. Cheers.